How's everybody doing?
Good.
I like songs that are about him, you know, that just are about loving him and worshiping him, because that's what we get to do for all eternity. That's what we're about. We're going to be a people who will love him and worship him. Can you hear me okay with all the buzz of the stuff?
Just fine.
Just fine. No, we're fine. If Steve can hear me, we're good. Can you hear me in the back, Jason?
Yeah.
Good. How's your wife doing?
She's great.
How was the conference stuff?
She said it was really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else?
Not really. We
For those who don't know, Jason's wife is in South Africa, and she was ministering at a women's conference. Awesome. How many times did she speak?
Four.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Okay. All right. Then we don't want you spoiling stuff then, do we? Yeah. That's right. That could be a lot of words. So this summer we've been had a real focus on contending in prayer. Yesterday, Kalina and Carl and I went down to Orange County, which was a thrill, but we were there and we were part of, we went to this Alpha training. Who's ever heard of Alpha, the Alpha course? It's a kind of a worldwide course that started in England, and 29 million people have been through this. It's an introduction to Jesus, and it makes room for people to engage in conversation with where engaging in conversation is the key, right? That's the key to being able to help people bridge the gap in a relationship with God, to not knowing God, who is this Jesus, what is the spirituality, to this coming to this place of engaging with him and making that connection. The cool thing to hear them say was, over and over again, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. If we don't pray, we're not going to see these things change. And the guy just gave an example of how him and some mates had they had a list of 10 names of people, or 20 names? 20 names of these 20 people they'd prayed for over a period of summer, and seen every one of them come to Christ. And just this whole emphasis on understanding how important prayer is. If we don't pray, things will not change, right? They may change in our own effort, but the prayer is the key to advancing the kingdom, to seeing things change in the natural. And so this Alpha course that they do was all based in that people would be. And so we've really been going after people being equipped to do the work of ministry, right? We want to celebrate every little step that we each take, whether it's just praying for somebody in our own quiet time. That is a victory, right? Actually committing to pray for somebody that God would encounter their lives, or whether it be, you know, taking that moment of actually praying for them out in public, or hearing the voice of God and listening to God and taking that moment. So I do want to take just a second and ask, are there any other God stories that people have had this week so we can be encouraged? Has anybody had any moments in the last couple of weeks where they've taken a step of faith, and even if they didn't see any results, even if they didn't see anything life-changing thing, is there any stories from the last couple of weeks? Jason, you're about to get up. Nope. Yeah.
I'm so confused. About 10 years ago, I had an opportunity, relatively new in the faith, but really hungry to see what I saw in the Bible manifest in real life. And so I used to pick up all kinds of strange people without any fear or any wisdom of any kind. I think I've kind of gone the far extreme since then, so I was reminded of that, so that was a good thing. But ran into this woman that I used to minister to, who, by the world standards, has been diagnosed with schizophrenia and multiple personalities. But God was doing a work in her, unbeknownst to me and any idea of anything spiritual back then. And some circumstances happened in life that kind of pushed her out of my life. And she was quite older, and so I thought she had passed away. She used to go stay at the park down the bottom of the hill sometimes. And Mom and I were at prayer room on Monday, and we have committed on Mondays to go out and walk the streets and just make ourselves available. We had a couple opportunities to pray for some other people. It was one of those days where I really didn't want to go out, but I felt I needed to be obedient to what God had put on my heart. Anyway, here comes this lady who looks like she's in extreme distress. She's wobbling. She looks like she's physically having a hard time. Something was significantly wrong. And it was Marla, the lady from 10 years ago that I thought had passed away because I haven't seen her in like 10 years. And she's walking up. And so we got to bless Marla, take her to a couple places where she wanted to get some things. And we got to pray for Marla and talk to her about where she was at with the Lord. We had some interesting conversation that was very bizarre, but we also had some very fruitful conversation and got to plant some seeds. And now that I know where she lives, because I got to take her home, I can continue to rebuild in the relationship that I had 10 years ago. It was almost like a spiritual do-over, if you will, for me, because she was one of the ones that it was like, what if? What if this hadn't come in and run her off? What could have happened? What could God have done in Marla's life? Marla is quite old. She has congestive heart failure. She only has half a heart, according to her. That might not be accurate, because who knows? Some of her realities are confused. But she was having breathing problems at the time. So her breathing, when we prayed for her, got better. She was able to get home without having a heart attack, which was a good thing. And Mom and I both had the sense that Marla's days are numbered and that we need to actively be praying Marla into the kingdom, because she might not have too many tomorrows. So if you guys would keep Marla on your heart, I would appreciate it. Thanks.
Cool. Anybody else? Oh. Whoa.
Well, then don't do that.
Okay, so we were with our neighbor last Sunday night, and she was on Facebook, and she saw Rory praying at, what is it, for the young guy going away, for Cannon.
Oh, was that on Facebook?
It was on Facebook, and she was just like,
famous.
Wow, I haven't even seen it, so I don't know what he said, but do you want to explain it?
Okay. So our neighbor is amazing, but she has had so many things that's happened to her in her past that she does not believe in God. She doesn't believe he exists. She doesn't believe that there's anything. There's no reason to read a Bible. And her words, her example was, the Bible is like reading Harry Potter to her. There's no significance. Like, there's nothing there.
Yeah, but she sees that.
But on the flip side, she'll say comments to us, and she'll be like, when we invite the kids to VBS or, you know, whatever, and she's like, that's so cool that you think there's a higher power. You think that there's someone else. So anyways, we're sitting on our patio talking, and she's like, that was the coolest thing that your brother got to do that and speak those words over Cannon before he leave military, for the military. And she was like, it was just the coolest thing to see that, because she knows you're so just real and simple and basic, and there's no agenda. And she was like, that is just the coolest thing, that someone would go all the way down the hill and go be a part of this young man's life. So
that was really cool.
It's a good job, Pastor Rory.
Touching
lives.
Yeah. Well, it was up here on the mountain. It was up here. It was at Twin Peaks. And so that was like, we'd played softball and they were having this going away for this young guy. And the cool thing, just trying to be, that's, I think, a big part of it for me is that we're responsible for pastoring our community,
yes.
Right? That's our responsibility. And so we need to own our space in regards to that. And so after we play softball each week, we pray at the end of it, and that, which is great. You know, get invite everybody to come around and pray. And a season ago, or maybe a little bit longer, Cannon's dad had played for us. He'd had this back injury, and it was just like, okay, well, I just want to, hey, can I pray for your back? You know, can we pray for you? And I do remember praying for him then. Were you there? You prayed with us as well? I think we prayed for him, and me and Steve, and we just prayed for him and just asked God to heal his back, and he's back playing. You know, I don't know what role God had, whatever, doesn't matter. But engaged in that, and then his dad is Lexi's softball coach, and we've just had this really good relationship built with Charlie and his son Cannon. And so he's off to the Marines, and they were going away, and we'd played the earlier games, but they'd invited the whole softball league to come back for this little going away celebration with pizza and beer and whatever else. You know, it's fine. And so our games had been earlier, so I'd gone home, and I'm like, I don't really want to go out. Right? I didn't. I was like, and it was kind of like, you know, I know what I'm going back into, which is fine. That doesn't bother me. It was just kind of like I was tired and didn't really want to go back. But did go back and just got to engage with people. Even got to pray with Mike from Goodwin's, Mike Johnstone, and just pray for wisdom for him and hang out there. And so I knew that I wanted to, you know, just pray and bless Charlie and Cannon, you know, for the family. And so I'm kind of done. I've talked to a few people. It's been good. You know, people know who I am. They know I'm the praying pastor guy who comes and plays softball, whatever. It unfolded like, so I just went up to Charlie and his wife and it's like, hey man, can I just, you know, pray for you guys and the family and Cannon before I leave? I just want to pray and bless you guys. And so Charlie stops the whole party and makes everybody circle up, which is fine. I would have like to have done that, but I wasn't going to be like, hey, everybody circle up, we need to pray for this guy. And so Charlie got it. He stopped the party. He made everybody come and circle up. And so then just got to pray and just bless and speak over these guys. And it's like, these are the sort of things that we want to be engaged with. You know, these are the sort of things that we want to take the moments for. You know, huh? Yeah, those are the things that have an impact. And so as a community, I don't find it coincidental that you're now super involved with PTA and everything else, you know. And so the place is, okay, what role can I have in, you know, praying in the beginning of every meeting or doing something or whatever it is that is that, you know. It's interesting, the comments that she has are the exact comments that fit perfectly with Alpha as a course, because the whole point is to engage with people in spirituality and have a conversation and the video and that side of it. And so these are the moments that we get to be in our community and engage with people, because if we're just in these four walls, then so what? Yeah,
I think that always blows away. She's like, oh, Rory knows this person, and Rory knows that person.
Yeah, I just know everybody. I'm just no, but like it's yeah, exactly. The extrovert that I am, the part of the. I'm so not an extrovert, but it's like, because yeah, but that's the thing. It's just got to be in community and be real, and that's our responsibility. We get to pastor these people. They're our responsibility to pastor them. And so I know, like, afterwards I'm having conversations and, you know, I'm with these guys and the guys are swearing and they're apologizing for swearing in front of the priest. They're laughing. It's like, it's just funny. They call me the priest or whatever. These guys know who I am. And so I'm now, my next thought is, okay, in my prayers, it's like I need to be a little bit more verbal in letting them know, hey, if stuff comes up, I'm available in that sense. So I think I was thinking about that yesterday. I need to start verbalizing that in my end of softball prayer, you know. so that they can know that. And that's what I say to all the couples that I marry who are unchurched, unsaved, and it's like, we're available. I'm praying for you guys. I want to be involved in your lives. And so that's what these things are. We've got to be involved in people's lives. If we're not involved in people's lives, and so that means taking who we've been made to be. Like if we're a, because one of the alpha, it's funny, one of the alpha groups down in Santa Monica, right? They're in Santa Monica. And so their alpha course runs with a, they run it as like they have a, as a type of a mini party, right? And so they have time beforehand, but it's the time afterwards, like taking the model. If you're in England, you would go to the pub afterwards and sit down and engage with people. That's just a part of the culture of what they do. For Santa Monica, they are having, they're setting up in context of having, where they have beer and wine available with a two drink max, right? So it's not, you can't go there and get drunk, but they're engaging with the unsaved in a way that the unsaved would engage. Does that make sense? And so it's like, for us, what's our thing? What do? We barbecue, okay? You know, what is the place that we can invite people into our lives and engage that way? Does that make sense? They say it takes from the time of first engagement to actually being in the place to invite somebody to something like an alpha, it takes 3 months. So we need to actually be deliberately planning now, God, who are the people that you've put in my sphere that I need to have over for a meal, that I need to engage with now? Who are the people that are like that? All right? Sound good? Any other stories? And that was, you know, it was just a, you know, I guess the accent helps, you know, in some things, right?
I think in her mind, though, that she associates church, like, as religion, and she finds it cool that something can transpire like that just so anatomically,
yeah. Well, in a regular place. You know, like, so you're going to do this, but this is what's actually happening behind those doors. Like, that's what she experienced.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why we've got to be outside. That's
like,
why.
It's not like that. I mean, it is like that some places, but I'm like, here, it's like, it's just real. It's this is who we are, and this is what we're doing.
You got it. He had his hand up.
Where are you going? Oh, I cut you out. Last Saturday, I went to coffee. I took Gloria and went to coffee at Higher Grounds, and I'd had kind of, almost didn't go. But I felt like, no, need to be there. And just as we were getting ready to leave, a lady walks up that I know, and I got up and spoke to her. Very quickly discovered that things were not going well in her life. So I offered to pray with her. So Gloria and I prayed with her, and then her husband came and joined us. And we had a really good conversation, ended up inviting them to come to church, which they were planning to come today, and then some family showed up. So they didn't. But then we also invited her to come to prayer room, and she ended up meeting me there on Tuesday, and we spent several hours there, and I just feel like it really impacted her, and we prayed together a couple of times while we were there, and she just really poured out her heart. So it was cool.
Steve.
So, yeah. So, when Lynn was here, because we did, like, what, 4 weeks on evangelism? When Lynn was here, one of the things I'm a Q&A guy. I bother people with questions, but sorry in advance. So one of the things that Lynn told me was pray for three. Whether it's coworkers, friends, family members, pray for three people in your circle of influence. And because I was telling her about work, I've got such a minefield that is not wanting to be mined, if you will. And she said, pray for three. I said, okay. So I've been doing that. And nothing like seas parting or skies opening or anything, but just little things are starting to happen. Just this last week, just a conversation. The guy came up, he goes, like Joel was saying, he says, because you could tell, he's like, I'm glad that works for you. You know, real happy for you, but don't try bringing it to me. And so he said to me, we were waiting the other night, and he said, again, you know, I'm really happy because it seems to be working really well for you. Like, you seem very happy, and that's good. But, and I'm thinking, why does there have to be a but, right? But and he proceeds to tell me how he was raised Catholic, and I was raised Catholic. So everything he's saying, I'm like, I know I've been there. And he says, I just, you know what? I don't want to have to go to church every Sunday. And I'm like, well, you don't have to. Now, like, anybody that tells you you have to is out of line. But I understand. And the reason I'm bringing that up, there was another guy that kind of like, he was all worried. I mean, there was, we had some storms the other night and some lightning. It was just getting a little crazy and a little fire going on and accidents. And he's like, I said, bro, it's fine. I prayed. We're good. He goes, well, all right then. And it like opened up a conversation. So there's, again, no one's gotten saved, but the doors are opening, which is really cool. And what I wanted to share, what I think is really neat is that, and I tried to do it from up there, and I don't know if I got it across, but don't think that evangelism is this. Evangelism, like you're talking about Rory, and one of the things I admire about Rory is he just is who he is. Doesn't matter where he goes, who he's talking to, he's Rory. And now he's created this Rory-ness. So people know him. They, you know what I mean? They know, oh, it's Rory. They know who he is. And that's what we, and I've been trying to do, that's what we need to do. We don't need to be secret agent Christians. Like, oh, a week from Tuesday, I'm going to put on my evangelism hat. I'm going to go share the gospel. You know, no, we just need to be who we are all the time. And it will draw people. People will come. And the other thing that's really weird is, I know when we used to do, when I was with Set Free, we would do street ministry, and you're ministering to people who are so desperate for Jesus, but they're not, you know, they're in addiction, they're in prostitution, it's a no-brainer. It's like, there's a better way, right? But it seems like now more and more the people that we're sharing with are hurt by the church. That's right. They have bad experiences with church. And so it's not a matter of winning them to the Lord. It's a matter of being who we are, not being a, you know what I mean? Not you have to come do that, just being real. And I think that's what Rory does, and that's what I admire about him. And I was telling this guy, I said, our church is different. He goes, what do you mean? I said, because he's a family guy. And I'm like, we're a family. We barbecue, we hang out, we do movie nights, we go camping, I said, it's family, and I had to catch myself. I said, it's family without most of the drama. I said, you know how family has a lot of drama? I'm not saying we're drama free, but we have less drama. And he kind of chuckled, and it kind of opened the door. So that's what it is, and that's who we need to be. We don't have to be like, oh, let me put my suit on and go knock on it. Let me go. This is what an evangelist would do. We just need to have people over for a barbecue. We need to go to the beach, go whatever, and just be who we are all the time. And it's more real. You know what I mean?
That way there's no hypocrisy, like Joel said.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
So those are the sort of things we want to continue to grow in. Be encouraged, all right? We are, as a community, we wanted to do a little community fast where we want to see God shift some things, all right? And so from the 12th through the 22nd, a 10-day fast, God really laid that on Steve's heart. And you can probably share more next week, right? Because we're running short. Yeah, try and be here. But we just wanted to do a little 10-day community fast and says, you know, because we want to see these things change, right? These are these little moments. We're moving beyond the borders. We want to see God come in all that he's got. Okay, I've messed up my time, and so I do have a message.
Really?
Luke 9, get your Bibles. Nope. Could I do it without a tablet? Maybe. Okay, Luke 9. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples. He gave them power and authority, verse 1, to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out, tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey. Don't take a walking stick, your bag, your money, change your clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house, town refuses you, shake off your dust, and away you go. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. We're going to skip Herod's confusion and then go down to the well-known story out of Jesus feeding the 5,000. When the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. Then he slipped quietly away with them towards the town of Bethsaida, or something along those lines. But the crowds found out where he was going, and they followed him. He welcomed them, and he taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who were sick. And so as I was looking at this, I'm looking at this idea of the kingdom of God, right? The reality of the God says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? What is this idea of the kingdom of God here on earth look like? And so I'm reading this and I'm going, hold on a minute. He's teaching Jewish people about the kingdom of God. Like, these are every good Jewish person that's been taught the Torah, right? They know about God. What is it that he is having to do to teach them about the reality of the kingdom of heaven here on earth? Does that make sense? Does it make sense that, like, I read that and I'm like, hold on a minute. This guy should know. Why is he having to teach them about the kingdom of God? And so, and then I'm getting thinking, I'm going, okay, think of it like this is my poor example, but it'll kind of work, right? Think of, you know, you're going to look at the beautiful waterfall, right? And you've got a cliff and there's the beautiful waterfall. And so what do? They put up their fence so that you don't fall off the cliff, right? And the fence is like the law, right? God gave us the law that is the fence for our protection so that we don't fall off the cliff. The problem was the Jewish with the Pharisees, and over time is they had added through the Mishnah, which was all this law upon law upon law upon law. So they'd added all these different fences back and back and back and back until you can't even see the waterfall because of all these fences protecting you from the initial fence so that you don't fall off the edge. Does that make sense? Right? And so you've got this whole deal going on. And so what does Jesus do is he comes, and the things that he's most mad about and the things that he's most active in is dismantling the fences that even get to the law, right? And the thing that he does most of all is he gets all the way up to the law and he takes people's eyes off the fence and puts it back onto the waterfall. Does that make sense? And so that's a really, it's a poor example, but it works, okay? Go with me. Just say, good example, Rory. Okay? So that's who Jesus was when he comes to earth to teach people about the kingdom of God. Because you see that over and over and over throughout your New Testament as you see Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God. He's not teaching about a prayer of salvation. He's teaching them about the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom, and heal the sick. Okay, I like how those two are separated. But those things are important. He's teaching them about what it means to be a follower of Christ, preach and the reality of the kingdom of God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we get to walk out that same reality. We get to be God's enforcers of the kingdom reality here on earth because our current Western Christian society, okay, really doesn't understand and walk in kingdom realities, right? We have in some ways, a lot of ways, we've built our own fences. And we've moved away from the idea and the understanding that we're supposed to be people of God who are freedom fighters, setting people free for the kingdom. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? We'll skip that. So we have to be a people, and this is what I love about the testimonies and the things that we're talking about, is that the reality of the kingdom of God in our lives should be the most relatable thing for the people that we come in contact with, right? All the stuff that God has done for us because we have a view of the waterfall and the awesomeness of that, we want to be enforcers of that rather than being caught up in getting law upon law upon law. Like the whole, you know, to be a Christian, you've got to go to church. Well, actually, that's a fence getting in the way of a relationship with Jesus, right? You know, we've got to live these lives that look, you know, that look nice on Sunday, but the rest of the time our lives were a bunch of hypocrites, right? Those are the laws that get in way of the reality of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So we need to be people who know what the kingdom realities are so that we can be enforcers of that. Okay? So Jesus, who comes to earth, who has come from heaven, his whole life was about enforcing those kingdom realities. Okay? So we're not of the world. Okay? We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're made for a garden. Eventually, we rule and reign with God. However, in the meantime, we don't rest in that. We get to be the freedom fighters enforcing the kingdom of God, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, if you want to look at these verses, Luke 9, we've looked at that. Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke 17, the kingdom of God is within you, all right? They're like, well, here it is or there it is. It's not that. The kingdom of God is within you. Luke 18, the kingdom has to be received like a child. And then Matthew 24, the kingdom must be preached for the end to come. Okay? So we want to take our thinking away from the rules and put ourselves in the place of what is the actual waterfall that God has brought before us. Okay? So, communicating the kingdom realities. The first thought was, man, we need to have our eyes on the waterfall. The relationship with God, intimacy with the Father, prayer, all those things are the things that bring the reality of the kingdom to us. Yes, that is what our first heart must be. Like, the motivation to go up there and pray for this young man was purely based around the fact that, God, you know, and I know this young man, I mean, he's a young man who's off to the Marines, right? But my heart was, God, I know that you so desire, like you died for Cannon. Your heart is for this young man. Your heart is for his mum and his dad. At whatever stage they're at is irrelevant, okay? My goal is not to get them to pray a prayer. My goal is to reflect who Jesus is so that they can see the beauty and awesomeness of God, right? And so for you guys with your neighbor, you know, I'm really excited about the position you guys are in at the moment. In the PTA world of, you know, you're right in the thick of every parent's thing. You know what I mean? The PTA, the place of influence, the place of whatever. And I'm excited by the fact that you get to reflect God in any way possible, however he's called you. All right? I get to, you know, I'm excited by the fact that that is what we get to do. We get to reflect the kingdom of God. And so, first and foremost, our place of intimacy must be there, right? That's where we've got to come from. And then we, out of there, we can step out and do it. So, we don't really have time for all these, but it doesn't matter. Okay, the practical kingdom realities that we can function in. I wanted us to go to Matthew, to the Sermon on the Mount. Go there real quick, because we've got 5 minutes or so. Okay. Pull out your Bibles, go to Matthew 5, 6 and 7. Because when I'm thinking about, okay, what are the kingdom realities here on earth that we get to, that are the waterfall that we get to live out, right? What's up, Lockie? Going to the bathroom. It's important. It's important that he does that. Because I was thinking about, like, the words of Jesus. Like, if Jesus is coming to teach about the kingdom of heaven, what were those realities that he was talking about? And I was going to just get us to dialogue back and forth on some of those kingdom realities that are a part of the teachings of Jesus. And so what are some of those things heaven's realities that we get to be a part of from the teachings of Jesus. And so I'll give you an example of what I was going to create room for us to have dialogue on was, you know, salt and light. So often we live in that place, you know, where we live in a society where it's okay for people to go to church, be lectured to, but nothing changes in their life, right? A kingdom reality is we absolutely have to be salt and light. We absolutely, if we're going to be helping people set free, then we have to be salt. Salt in, you know, salt in the wound, in the wound. Salt that preserves. We have to be light shining into the darkness. That is a kingdom reality that we need to walk through. I love that Jesus, he's like, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But he's like, I'm coming to tell you, don't even look at thing. And so they had all these laws. We need to be a people of purity. We need to be a people who can point Jesus to point people to Jesus and that place of purity and what he's given to us. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. Kingdom reality is we need to be able to look at every person around about us, no matter where they're at and no matter what's going on in their life or their sexual orientation, right? Does not matter. We need to be like Jesus with kingdom reality that can come into that situation and love them into the kingdom, right? That's the love that breaks the yokes, that breaks the barriers. Like, I love how Jesus engaged in meals with people. Meals was his number one thing, right? What did he do? I want to come to your house and have a meal. He goes to this person's house to have a meal. And because of the, such the value, like having a meal with somebody to the Jewish culture was huge, right? It was an honor-based thing in an honor-shame society, right? So it was to bring honor to that person. And most of the time, the stories we read, like Zacchaeus, the tax collectors, notorious sinners, right? All these different ones, when Jesus as a rabbi would come into their situation where normally the rabbis would be, they wouldn't touch or have anything to do with, right? When Jesus came into those situations to have a meal with, it was bringing honor unto that person. And so often we just read through it like, oh, and suddenly they got changed and suddenly they converted and Jesus, I'll sell all my thing and give it to the poor. The ability of honor in that situation to change somebody's life was dramatic. That's the kingdom of God reality that we need to walk in. That we can go into a situation, even like, you know, the softball situation was, a big part of it was, man, I want to honor the parents as well. Right? This is honoring Charlie and what's his wife's name?
Sabrina.
As much as it was to pray protection for Cannon, it was to bring honor into their lives so that God can work in that situation as well. Those are some of those kingdom of God realities. And we're out of time. But anyway, I want you to, it's all good. I want you guys to look at and think about, God, what are those kingdom realities that you want to bring? Okay? Help me to move past the religious. Help me to move past that place where I don't understand and move to the place where, God, I can bring the kingdom of heaven to the situation. I don't know. All right, let's all, any other thoughts? Any thoughts anybody wants to add? I'm done. If we'd had more time, we would have dialogued back and forth on kingdom realities, but we don't. So it's okay. Next time. Okay. Anything you want to add? Yes.
When we close your prayer, I think we should pray for the victims of the
shootings. Yes. Yeah, I hadn't really caught up with that until like this morning. I was like, whoa. Yeah. And again, see, that sort of stuff makes me go, man, even more so, kingdom realities. We need to live in that so that in every, no matter what the situation is going on, like we're not afraid, we're not fearful, but we can be God's hands and feet in any situation that he might bring us across, right? And so we definitely want to pray for those guys, families and people affected by that. We live in a, things are not getting better, okay? The world is not getting lighter. To me, it's getting darker, which even more so means that we as community need to know who we are in God and walk in that reality. We walk in the kingdom of God realities here and now. Sound good?
Yep.
All right. Well, Jesus, oh, Father, such a desire. Lord, you came and you preached about the kingdom of heaven that is now here because of what you've done. You've left us Holy Spirit. We're so grateful for that. But God, thank you that you've given us the assignment that we get to preach the kingdom. And Lord God, the reality of heaven here on earth, the reality of who you are as the God of truth, as a God of love, as a God of honor and mercy and grace, as a God who so desires that you would send your son to die for everyone who does not know you. And you desire to live in people's lives. And so, Father, I thank you that the reality of the kingdom of heaven would be that to us, that we wouldn't get caught up in laws and religion, but we would have our eyes focused on the waterfall. We'd have our eyes focused on what it is, the relationship with you. So we thank you for that. God, we thank you, Lord, that, man, we just pray for these families who are in obviously total devastation today. God, that you would bring people across their paths. Lord God, that you would bring peace and comfort into those situations. Lord God, that right now there would be families, there would be people around about these ones who have lost loved ones, who can be the God, that you would be the God of all comfort into these situations. And we thank you for that. God, we so recognize, Lord God, that we are in desperate need of you. And we so recognize that, God, you have given us so much that we would give what you've given to us. So we thank you for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anything to add? Does anybody need any prayer, want any prayer? We want to make room for that this morning. So we've got a song we're going to play. If you need prayer this morning, we want to make room for you to engage with God, all right? So we'd love to pray with you, stand alongside you, agree. We'd also love to just say, God, would you come in the reality of who you are and meet us in Jesus' name, all right? Thanks, Carl. Let's all stand. Can we just take a minute to engage with him?